In Finland, I was invited to take a sauna. I was also invited to go cross-country skiing. And all I could think is fun illegal here? What kind of antidepressant do you have to be on to enjoy cross-country skiing? I can't believe cross-country skiing's even a sport. Hey, you know that awkward part in downhill skiing where you're trying to get over to the lift? What if we just did that? And to turn around, you know what? Don't turn around. Let's go across the country. People who enjoy winter seem mentally unstable. Right? Some of those winter activities should get you committed. It's like, look, we love you, we're just worried. I mean, yesterday we caught you walking through the woods with tennis rackets tied to your feet. This morning, we saw you sweeping the frozen lake. What's next? You sitting in a sled being pulled by dogs? Get some help. Oh, I did one of those genetic tests. I was surprised to find out I'm all Asian. You do learn things from those genetic tests. Like, I discovered I wasted $100. They send you information. Mine just said, dude, you're white. In fact, you're very white. I hope you feel guilty. They didn't even break out my nationality. They just highlighted all the British Isles. They're like, you're trash from here. Wherever people need sunscreen. But what do we expect to learn from these genetic tests? Like, oh my gosh, I'm related to my ancestors. We're only gonna find out bad news. You see it in the commercials. I thought I was Italian, but it ends up my great grandma was a So I guess I'm Eastern European. Sometimes people think I'm saying Eastern Europeans are and I am. No. My point is, only good family news is passed along. Like, if your great-grandfather was Abraham Lincoln, you'd already know that. But if your great-grandfather was the town drunk, your grandpa's likely to go, I don't remember. I think he worked in a bar. Chief gutter inspector. I do know I have some Irish ancestry, but apparently the Irish didn't keep great records because, well, draw your own conclusion. Some tells me they weren't busy sunbathing. I'm Irish, but I have blonde hair. Supposedly the only reason the Irish have blonde or red hair is because the Vikings invaded, pillaged, and probably other stuff. Those Vikings, the Scandinavians, I don't know if you've been to Sweden, it's like a whole country of Scarlett Johansson's. If I was in Ireland at that time, I would have been, oh no, some Viking lady's coming to pillage me. I guess I'll hide on this bed covered in rose petals. Hopefully she can help me put together that table. They say last names can tell you something. Like if your last name is Cooper, that means you probably had an ancestor who made barrels. If your last name is Cantor, that means somebody along the line was a singer. My last name is Gaffigan, which is Gaelic for highly anxious. And when I learned that, all I could feel was highly anxious. How anxious do you have to be for people to go, you should go with that as your name? Was that? That's what we call you anyway. It does seem like some last names were chosen to impress, right? You know, someone's like, you know what? I want the ladies to know I'm successful, so I'm gonna go with a last name Goldman. Goldman. What are you going with? Wiener. I want the ladies to know I like hot dogs. But who knows? Maybe last names mean nothing. You know, where I'm from in Indiana, there is a guy who owns an RV dealership, and his name is Tom Raper. That's his name. And there are billboards, come see Tom Raper. And people go. we should check it out. Now, I don't know why we would let someone named Raper sell RVs. They are essentially mobile crime scenes. If my last name were Raper, I wouldn't leave the house. How do you even go out to dinner? Party of two, Raper. Is there a Raper here? Are there family reunions? Are you a Raper? I'm a Raper. Is this your son? He looks just like a Raper. So fun getting all the Rapers together. In Milwaukee, I stayed in a hotel named The Fister. That was the name, The Fister. And obviously they were sensitive to it sounding weird, so they added a P at the front, so it was The Puffister. Hey, it worked for Michelle Pfeiffer. And that hotel was started by a man named Guido Fister. I thought, my name's Guido Fister, why don't I go into hospitality? Guido Fister, his name sounds like an ethnic slur. Get out of here, you Guido Fister! Go fish somewhere else! I'm ignored at my Y. I'm ignored at all health clubs. Like, when I walk into a fitness area, even in a hotel, people always look at me like, I didn't know they serve food here. The only people that approach me are personal trainers. They're like, you looking for a personal trainer? No. You should be. So I've gotten to the point, if I'm approached by a personal trainer, I just act like they're hitting on me. They're like, hey, how you doing? I'm married. I don't think you understand. I understand perfectly. You want to get with me, but I'm taken. So you can look, but no touchy. I got to do some international shows this year. I performed in Japan for the first time, which was amazing. I mean, I wasn't in Japan just for stand-up. I was also modeling. I wish that wasn't that funny. But Japan, the Japanese are just, they're better at being human. Can we admit that? They're more polite. They're better at design. The Japanese toilet? Are you familiar with the Japanese toilet? The Japanese took the most disgusting experience of human existence and fixed it. The Japanese toilet washes you, dries you, does your taxes. And that is in a Tokyo airport bathroom. You leave a Japanese public restroom cleaner than when you walked in. You leave an American public restroom with PTSD. Your only thought is, how can I forget that experience? Is there alcohol nearby? The entire time I was in Japan, I felt overweight, probably because I am overweight. But generally, the Japanese are thin. I mean, there are people that are overweight in Japan, but not like in America. We're better at not being thin. Because if you get really fat in Japan, they make you sumo wrestle. They make their fat people fight each other. Entertain the thin people. And the fat people in Japan go along with it.
Well, why am I doing this? It's prestigious. Now you try and push that other fat ass out of the circle. Oh, we try not to giggle. But first, throw on this giant diaper and put your hair in a bun. It's very dignified.
The Japanese are quiet and polite. They're like the opposite of my children. I had my kids with me, and they were always making loud noises. Occasionally, I would catch a Japanese person looking at my poorly behaved kids, and then they would look at me, and I'd always say the same thing. We're Canadian. Of course, we're not Canadian, but that is what some Americans do when they travel internationally. They tell people they're Canadian, which I think is cowardly. That's why I always tell people I'm North Korean. Then I get the respect I deserve. How much attention does the country of North Korea need at this point? Every 2 days, North Korea's like, we're gonna blow up the world! Isn't there a part of you that's like, then just do it? Like, the UK is not that different from the US. You know, if anything, you go over there and it seems like British people are trying to be different from Americans. They're like, oh, you drive on the right side of the road, then we're gonna drive on the left side of the road. Oh, you call your mother mom? Then we're gonna call ours mum. Oh,
you call that a cookie, then we're not going to the dentist.
I know that's cheap. I did notice something when I was over there. You know, British people, they don't say the before hospital. You ever notice that? They're like, hospital? I was feeling knackered, so I went to hospital. Whenever they would do that, I'd say, stop that, that's wrong and weird. Are you trying to sound like a polite caveman? And I had a friend from London. He was like, what makes you think you're doing it properly? And I go, because I'm American and we invented the English language. It was a pet peeve of mine, so I did some research. You know why British people don't say the before hospital? Because they're dicks. Yeah! I know that sounds harsh, but admit it, British people always talk to Americans like we just walked into their jewelry store with two full bags of garbage.
May I help you? Are you lost?
Obviously, I love the Brits, and I would never do those jokes there. I have been lucky enough to perform in the UK a couple times, and one time I was walking through Piccadilly Circus, which, for the record, is a horrible circus. There's no animals. And no, I was walking through Piccadilly Circus, and I saw they had an M&M store, and I looked at that M&M store, and it just made me think of all the things the British have given the Americans. Like, our language, Shakespeare, the Magna Carta, and I looked at the M&M store and I thought, now we're even. When I looked at the M&M store, I wasn't even embarrassed to be American. I was ashamed to be human. Because has anyone at any point in their life thought, when are they gonna open an M&M store? Sure, I can buy M&Ms absolutely anywhere. But I like to buy in bulk, in a pro M&M environment. Obviously, we don't need an M&M store. We don't even need different colored M&Ms. They all taste the same. They're just bits of chocolate shaped like Advil. With an M on it. They're not even M&Ms, they're M's. We don't do that with anything else. You want some raisin and raisins? Go ahead. Grab a handful of raisin and raisins. But I did open for the Popemobile in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And if you've been there, you know they mean that sarcastically. I love Philly, but saying Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love is a little bit like saying Syria, a place for peace. But I love Philly. I love the whole Northeast. I'm from the Midwest, but I choose to live in the Northeast because I love the energy and I love the fact that everyone in the Northeast is angry for absolutely no reason at all. Furious! From Philadelphia to Boston, pissed off. Right? That whole Acela line, I call it the corridor of hate. But that is why we are the United States. Think of those initial 13 colonies. Like, in Virginia, those guys, like Jefferson and Madison, those guys were like the philosophers. They're like, we're born with these inalienable rights, we should have representation. But it was the people in the Northeast, in Boston, that were like, screw it, dump all the tea in the habit. Those English are dicks, they don't say that before hospital. Don't you wish you were there when the Bostonians explained to the Virginians, yeah, we listened to all that stuff you said, so we started a war with England. The greatest superpower on the planet. The Virginians were like, what? We were talking hypothetically. Even Patrick Henry was like, when I said give me liberty or give me death, I didn't mean actual death. I was talking like death by chocolate death. But so I was in Philadelphia for the event, at the sound check, and they had constructed this huge amphitheater next to the Ben Franklin Parkway, which is a highway, and the amphitheater was empty, and I was up there doing the sound check, and I looked on the highway, and it was already filled with a million people. And I looked at those people, and I thought, wow, a million people that don't want to see me do stand-up comedy. Because they were all there to see the Pope, and not one of those million people was thinking, I hope the Pope has a comedian open for him. But I shouldn't have been surprised. In the weeks leading up to the event, there were all these interviews. They're like, you're opening for the Pope. There's going to be millions of people there. Are you nervous? Are you going to prepare? And I'm like, I'm definitely nervous. I'm definitely going to prepare. Anyway, I didn't prepare. So I was on stage at the sound check looking at those million people, and I thought, I got to come up with some Philadelphia jokes. But what do I know about Philadelphia? I know cheesesteaks, Liberty Bell, and I just watched this ESPN 30 for 30 documentary about Eagles fans in 1968 throwing snowballs at someone dressed like Santa Claus. That's all I knew. So I went off and I tried to think of some Philadelphia jokes. Before you knew it, the event started and I was introduced and I walked out and the amphitheater was still empty. You know, because the Pope wasn't there and it was a Catholic event, so everyone was at the bar. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm just gonna do my show for no one. So I go, it's good to be here in Philadelphia. And I heard this roar behind me. And it was all the people on the highway. And I was like, all right, I'll play to them. I was like, Philadelphia loves the Pope. And I was like, not that I was worried, but you guys weren't that nice to Santa. Nothing. Silence. And then I heard something that sounded like booing, because it was booing. It wasn't everyone, it was like 10%, so 100,000 people. Booing my Santa joke before they saw their religious leader who was gonna talk to them about mercy. So I did what anyone would do when they're being booed. I acted like I wasn't being booed. I did some jokes about being lazy and food, and I kind of got the crowd back. And I got off stage, disaster averted, and I pulled out my phone and I started checking Twitter and I saw the most angry, hateful tweets I've ever seen. How dare you bring up the Santa incident? Never come back to Philly. I wish I could punch you. Bring up the Santa incident in Philly is like bring up the Holocaust in Germany.
That was an actual tweet.
Of course, the difference being that the Holocaust happened and Santa has never existed. At that moment, there was a tap on my shoulder, and it was one of the organizers, and they're like, do you want to meet the Pope? And I was like, I'm good. I was like, yeah, of course, I'd love to meet the Pope. So I was put in this room with some of the other performers, and we were lined up, and the Pope came in, and then he started greeting people, and I noticed people that the Pope was meeting, they were saying something to the Pope, and I didn't know what I was going to say to the Pope. And before you knew it, the Pope was right in front of me, and I just said, don't bring up the Santa incident. And the Pope, he didn't say anything. He just gave me a look of like, dude, I would never do that. This is Philadelphia. They'd crucify me.